Welcome back, guys. DGS 404. Happy Tuesday to you. We hit 102 today, tied the record from 1954. 1954 was a hell of a year. It's time for the Think Tank. Every Tuesday, we get together with a couple of our friends. Today, we have Judge Tom Frawley. We have State Rep Ian Mackey. You guys are kind of a team now, so yeah, like it. Yeah. Hope you like it because you're stuck with each other.
It's been good.
It has been good.
Glad to be back.
It's fun to be back. Is right.
So Thursday, obviously a huge night. We have the debate. It's kind of making me mad, though. I'm as the judge will be able to back me up on. I'm not a big preparer, and Jake Tapper's taking the whole week off to prepare to be the moderator. You need to go outside and practice falling down, Jake Tapper, because you need your ass kicked.
I wonder, does he get the questions ready himself? Like, how does that work?
Maybe, but. Seriously?
That can't be it. They have to be submitted by, like...
Come the hell on.
Don't you think the first question... And Ian and I were talking about this before together. Number one, will ex-President Trump show up? Number two, will he stay? But don't you think the first question, if it was you, would say to both of them, who is the duly elected president of the United States?
I can't think of a better first question.
Yeah, I assume. I didn't read the articles or see the news about, you know, the speculation that Trump wouldn't show. I mean, I can see where it might be in his benefit not to show. But also, I think the expectations for Biden are so high and so low for Trump that, I mean, I think it probably, you know, anything can happen. Right. I'm a little bit concerned if they actually are going to do this thing where they cut the mics off that they've been talking about. I think that's going to add to just the chaos, and it's going to lead to them saying things that we can't hear. It's going to make it really hard to follow and actually listen to what it's going to lead to conflicting statements about who said what when it comes out. That seems like a terrible idea, but yeah, I mean, I'm glad he's taking the week off to prepare, and hopefully that'll
flesh that out for me, Ian, why you think the bar is so high for Biden and so low for Trump.
You know, I just think that's because he's a serious person, right? And because, you know, he delivered the State of the Union that was so good, all they could say was that he was on drugs, right? I mean, they had nothing, they didn't parse any statements he made, any policy proposals he made, he stood up there and talked for an hour to both sides of Congress, and all they could say was, wow, he had so much energy, he must have done cocaine first, right? And so I think something similar going into this debate where you've got somebody, you know, anytime you have a debate where somebody is losing their mind and somebody else is keeping their cool, the person keeping their cool is probably going to win that debate, right?
Where on the scale of we don't still have that sound, do we, from Donald Trump?
No, I'm
okay.
Sorry.
We were playing some of that yesterday about he's going to get a shot in the ass and all that stuff. Where on the scale of entertaining, troublesome, and dangerous would you say that is?
With Trump?
Yeah, accusing a sitting president of using illicit drugs for a performance.
To me, it rises to the level of slander, I think. I mean, I don't know why it's not civil liability. You're accusing somebody of, in essence, violating the law. You know? I guess unless it's marijuana in a state where it's legal or whatever. But he's at the cocaine and other level, which means, plus they found cocaine in the White House. Yeah. So I think it's, to me, I'd be suing Trump, one more lawsuit.
Trump has that great built-in... do we have that sound, Andrew? Okay, why don't you play that? Just for people who didn't hear it yesterday.
He's sleeping now because they want to get him good and strong. So a little before debate time, he gets a shot in the ass. And that's... They want to strengthen him up. So he comes out. He'll come out. I say he'll come out all jacked up, right? All jacked up.
Yeah, he has that cover of, I'm just kidding. Come on. Lighten up a little bit.
And I think he's, you know, I think he's trying to push Biden's buttons. I mean, I think that's what two people who are debating often try to do is get under the other person's skin so that they get riled up. Just like I was saying, you get riled up, you start losing, right? Yeah. You start forgetting what you came in there to say. You start getting distracted by what your opponent's engaging in. You start losing the moderator or the judge or whoever's sitting and presiding over the situation. And, you know, his, I think Trump's, you know, worst case scenario is Joe Biden keeping his cool, staying calm, you know, maybe dropping a shut up man here there, but for the most part, just, you know, staying level-headed throughout the debate. Mm-hmm. And if he does that, he'll win.
I give Biden a pretty good shot at this in the sense that he handled Lindsey Graham pretty well, I thought, during the State of the Union speech. when Graham starts giving him a hard time. And Biden, I thought a very good response, very even, very even keeled, but very direct. I think he's been doing this a long time. He's a seasoned veteran. And the only thing is, as long as he realizes Trump just makes stuff up as he goes along, and he keeps that in the mindset that he's not going to, there's no fact checking. And I agree with Ian, although I'd be curious, are they going to tape all the audio so that when it's all over, although we didn't hear it at the jump,
right?
Because the mic was shut up, are we ultimately going to be able to get it? Because it was recorded. Right. I don't know.
I'm curious. So for months, Trump has been talking about how inept Biden is, and he can't, you know, he can't even walk, you know, whatever right. He says. He has changed lanes and is now saying, like, he's going to be a worthy adversary in this debate. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I think it's just throwing something at the wall to see if it sticks. It reminds me so much of not to in any way, shape, or form try to compare Mitt Romney and Donald Trump as any, but they did. We're both standard bearers of the party. I just remember the critiques of Obama throughout his, especially going into his second term. He was either leading from behind or shoving policy down everyone's throat. Right? It was like you just try to throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks. I think he's saying, you know, look, if Joe Biden shows up and he's calm and steady, then we're going to say he's Sleepy Joe. If he shows up and he's that, you know, State of the Union Joe Biden that's full of energy, that's not using filler words, that's being very direct with people, that has, you know, is bringing everything he's got to the situation, we're going to say he's on cocaine. Mm-hmm. You know, either way, we'll have a message. I just think it's that simple.
Is it mostly for our entertainment at this point, or do we really think that it can move a substantial number of votes?
Oh, I think it will. I mean, I think this will bring the race into focus. I don't know whether it will stay in focus because there's still 4 months before the election, but this will bring the race into focus. Most voters, people who are intending to vote, are not aware what either of these people are doing on a regular basis. They're not seeing the crazy statements that Donald Trump is making. They're not, getting the information that they otherwise would be getting if they tuned into even the first, you know, 15, 30 minutes of this debate, which is probably the most most people are going to end up watching. Mm-hmm. That's going to put the race into focus for people. They'll be reminded of the chaos he brought while he was president. They'll be reminded of January 6th. They'll be reminded of everything that he brings with him in the baggage. And they'll be reminded that even though Joe Biden is only 3 years older than Donald Trump, he is much more presidential. And I think ultimately that's what most voters are going to land on.
I think I kind of agree, although I think America right now is kind of divided in thirds. There's just a third of the people that are not going to be convinced by anything that Trump says and vice versa. So the question is whether that middle third, number one, tunes in, number two, pays attention, and number three, what are they swayed by? Are they swayed by somebody that just says anything that comes to his or her mind, in this case, his mind, or somebody who actually discusses policy, discusses issues in the Middle East, discusses issues with respect to China, discusses issues with respect to the economy and immigration. Immigration seems to me to be the issue that most of the people who are middle of the road are focused on.
I agree with that. I think that's going to be Biden's weakest, probably, or his highest hurdle to climb and to cross over is going to be the immigration.
How does Donald Trump, quote unquote, win?
Oh, God. Win the debate?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great question.
I think you got to define win. Yeah. And what I mean by that, no interruption, is do you mean win vis-a-vis Biden in terms of the mind of the people who are intellectually looking at this? Or do you mean with respect to this 33% of people? And I think he has a tough time. I think he's going to view winning this by leaving and going. He's going to have some big group assembled somewhere, and he'll have another raucous group of people, and he'll see, get all the plaudits that he needs.
Yeah, I think the win for him is raising money in the 24 hours after the debate by saying things that his base wants to hear, and then having 4 months between this and the next election and probably no more debates, you know, barring any sorts of other, you know, scenarios that come into play in those 4 months. But if he ends up, you know, if it ends up playing out how we think and Joe Biden ends up performing well and puts the race into focus, he can still raise money from his base and he can hope that this fades in the minds and memories of voters before November 5th.
And how does Biden win?
This is a man that does not like, I'm talking about former President Trump, does not like not being in charge. He wants to be in charge, and he is absolutely, completely not in charge here. He's not asking the questions. He's not controlling what the questions are. And he doesn't have, at least as far as we'll be able to know publicly, is not going to be able to disrupt Biden.
Yeah.
Did they do that during the second debate? Did they do the mics off thing? I can't remember.
I don't think so.
And no, there was the debate with Chris Wallace where he was threatening to do it, and it got really contentious, and they were arguing with each other. And I mean, he looked like he was ready to walk out.
Yeah.
But I don't think they actually end up cutting the mics off.
Yeah, I feel like I would have remembered that, and I didn't remember that.
Yeah. But it was that debate where that conversation started taking place, like maybe this is something we should do.
Yeah.
But Trump goes last, too, doesn't he, if I remember right?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
So, I mean, that,
sort of
if he's going to win, he's going to hit. That's going to be where, in my opinion, where he gets his, sort of like David in closing argument and in front of a jury. You make your closing argument the other side, and then you come back as the state or as the plaintiff, and you know what the defendant has said, and you really nail down what your main points are, et cetera. Just like he was outraged that the state got to present after he was in the criminal case, that the state got to go last, notwithstanding the fact that that's the rules.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. If you guys ever want to jump in with us, you can call us at 314-436-7900, 800-951-1120. One more segment with the Think Tank coming up.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
423 DGS Think Tank with Judge Tom Frawley, Representative Ian Mackey. Obviously, you two are both lawyers, attorneys. Let's talk a bit about the Supreme Court. I remember when I went to law school, I was like, I thought I was Abraham Lincoln. Like, no one in my family had ever done anything like that. And I was so taken by it, and WashU and the West books everywhere, because we didn't have the online stuff yet. You're literally going into the stacks of books and you're looking stuff up, and Learned Hand said this, and that's like the word of God. Maybe it's my age, maybe it's, you know, partisan politics, but it seems that the court has taken a step down, a step back in some ways, ethically, politically. Do you guys see that and agree with it?
Yeah, I mean, and it's reflected in the, you know, the ratings, the sense of faith and trust and you know, what people feel generally about the court. You know, Congress has always been at the basement level. The court has always had a much higher popular rating, and it's been on the decline for years now. And, you know, it's when I was in law school, too, it was, you know, they're untouchable. They're there for life. They're not political. And that we've just seen that change more and more and more and more. And, you know, they do usually save big decisions, their biggest decisions, right till the end of the term to announce them. But something that I was thinking about earlier was, you know, this immunity decision potentially being released the same day as the debate. We could learn on Thursday and talk about a win, quote unquote, for Donald Trump. Right. If this court gives him immunity from Jack Smith, from the insurrection that he pulled on January 6th, and every other crime that went along with that, and he gets to walk into that debate and say, I'm exonerated, I'm immune, I told you all, I win. I mean, it's an assist to a presidential debate from the U.S. Supreme Court.
Do you think it's equally harmful if he loses?
No, that's the right decision.
I agree. It's the right decision. Plus, if he gets elected, it doesn't really matter because he fires Jack Smith because he controls the Department of Justice. I'm more concerned with the politicalization, if that's a word, of the Supreme Court. And that back in the 60s and the 70s when I was in law school and in early practice, the Chief Justice was really seemed to be able to control all of the other folks, the Warren Court, all those changes they made in criminal law, et cetera. I don't think all of them believed it individually, but they were able to collectively figure out something that would work for for the country. And now everybody seems to have their own politics, if you will. I have learned, I guess, from Alito that when in doubt, throw your wife under the bus. That's the solution. But that's the political side is really bothering me, although I'm reading that Judge Barrett may be not as aligned with the Trumpists as originally thought. But the chief needs, Chief Judge Roberts is, I think, having difficulty having this be the Roberts Court. Remember, we talked about the Warren Court or the such and such court as the Chief Justice. And I think this is they're all thinking their own. And why they resist not having an ethics obligation, I don't understand why you would fight that.
Ian, you're in an interesting situation being an attorney, a state rep, and married to another man. You probably never thought Roe v. Wade would be overturned.
No, I did.
Oh, did you really?
In fact, I got in a really heated discussion with a Capitol Hill staff member the night before the leak. I was at a political party at some event we were all at, and it was a mixed crowd, and this person worked for a Republican on the Hill, but was still, you know, sort of middle-of-the-road minded, and said, there's no way, and I had to do what I've done so many times and grab people by the shoulders and say, watch what will happen. It was inevitable. I absolutely thought it would be overturned.
Do you think they are at least churning toward gay marriage?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, it's all threaded together. You know, and before Roe, it was Griswold, the right to privacy, the right to make your own decisions, to plan your own family in the way you see fit. Well, how is that the role of government? What role does the government have in deciding who you're married to, how you're going to have children, when you're going to have children, what to do if you're raped, you know? All of that is not, those aren't decisions of government. And, you know, Obergefell, which gave us the right to get married in 2015, those cases are cited in that decision. Griswold and Roe are cited in that decision. Other cases, Lawrence v. Texas, another right to privacy case, the government, should it be in your bedroom deciding what sexual encounters you can engage in or not, right? That's not the role of government. And those cases are all cited in the case that allows me in the state of Missouri to be married to another man. And so absolutely, they're headed down that road. Inevitably, I think, unless the court changes.
I would agree.
Wow.
And, you know, we've had the situation where way back where the Supreme Court got involved, whether a black man could marry a white woman. And
In our lifetimes. That's just crazy.
And I think one would hope, as we've watched all this evolution in baseball with the Alabama, the Birmingham game, and all the other things, recognizing the baseball players that played in the Negro Leagues would get the recognition belatedly, but once they should have.
Yeah.
And I can tell you the cool Papa Bell story about the light is a true story.
Yeah. Excellent.
I can tell you that someday, next time when I'm here.
Thank you, fellas. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.